My name is Ranita Chowdhury, and I am 14 years old. Today is November 26th. Yeah. And I'm speaking with Shamim, who is my dad. We are recording this interview in Rockville, Maryland. What do you remember from the Liberation War in Bangladesh?
Well, it's a long time. Long, long ago, 1971. That's almost like 47 years ago.
I guess
somewhere there. We have to count the days. The memory of 1971 is full of... I believe it's a both way. It's one way, it is a sorrow story because of it's a lot of people who died during the Liberation War, which was almost like a 9 months long, from March 25th midnight to until the December 16th. So it's a 9 months struggle that Bangladesh had to go through, and during this time millions of people died, close to 3 million people in fact died, and which has been documented in many ways inside the Bangladesh as well as by different international agencies. I mean, this is probably one of the highest casualties that world have ever seen during any of the war that been fought since Second World War. So in that sense, this is a big thing to remember. At the same time, it's a very big joy. I mean, people got liberated after 24 years of struggle, that they was under the pressure, under the rule of the Pakistanis from the West Wing at that time, which is known as West Pakistan, and Bangladesh now, which was then known as East Pakistan. So though the population-wise, Bangladesh was about 75 million people, and which is East Pakistan at that time, and West Pakistan had about 60 million people. So the population-wise, the majority of people lived in now Bangladesh, which was then East Pakistan. But being a majority, Bangladesh or the people of Bangladesh or then East Pakistan was not never let allowed to rule the country as the majority partner of the of Bangladesh, which in fact got the Pakistan liberated from Pakistan, and the Pakistan was liberated from the British rule of 200 years of British rule from 1857 until 1947. It was under the British rule for 200 years, and then it become two independent country. The old India become two independent country, and so that's how they got the India and Pakistan, and then liberation again after 24 years, and 1947 to 1971, and then got a new country. A new country was born in 1971 on 16 December. So that's a lot of memory.
I remember that Grandpa was in the war. What's something you remember related to him during the war?
He was in war a couple of times. He was a officer in the British Indian Royal Army, and he was in the Second World War in the Burma-Japan sector. He was with the British convoy. However, he was working in with a brigade of then American troops in the Burma Rangoon war zone, who was trying to get into marching toward the Japan through Myanmar, which is now known as Myanmar. At the time, it was known as Burma. So he was with that regiment up there with the British Royal Army. So he was in the war that during the Second World War, and during the Liberation War of Bangladesh, 1971, He was in fact not with us on that. We was living in the capital, which is Dhaka now, Bangladesh capital, Dhaka. This where we grew up. But he was visiting. In fact, we had a small business, a printing business, printing press. It was in Chittagong, which is a port city, northern part of the of Bangladesh. So he was there, and I was a little boy at the time. I was probably around 12 years old, and I remember that when this 1971, 25th March midnight, when the war began, we lost all contact with my father, and we had no clues of his whereabouts for about little over a month or 2 months, close to. And we were not sure exactly what happened to him because of, at that time, all communication was disconnected from the Dhaka, which is the capital, to the port city, because the port city was the first city that got locked into the war. Battle started there with the Pakistan Army, because Pakistan Army was trying to download their armament that came through the sea. There was a big Pakistani warship called Babur was in that city, in that port, and they was trying to unload the guns and the tanks and the ammunition from that, and the city people and everybody was in a lockdown battle with the Pakistan Army. So all we knew was there was huge casualty in and around that city, which in fact was in a fight battle from the day one. Whereas in our city, where we was stationed at the time in the Dhaka, it was one-sided. It was just Burberry killing by the Pakistan Army of thousands of innocent, unarmed, completely unconscious people, those who was not ready for anything happening in that sort. People just died in the streets. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands and thousands of people died just in one night. So we was not sure exactly what happened to our father, as we learn, with some information coming out through different channels that the Chittagong city is under really a big destructive measure that Pakistan Army took. So we didn't know about our father, what happened to him. But as we know from one source, that he tried to march out of the city with the army convoy that was going toward Burma at that time. And then we got another news that he marched with the army. Army means Bangladesh Army at that time. Bangladesh Army means people, those who was in Pakistan Army, and revolted from the army. They tried to march toward, some of them tried to march toward Burma, some of them tried toward marching toward the Mizoram, which is next to the hill tracks area of Chittagong. So we was unsure what happened to him. And in fact, we didn't have any news until we saw him coming back after about a month and a half after he came back. And he was similarly worried about us, which we learned later, because he also didn't have any information about our whereabouts. And he also learned that the place where he used to live, which was close to a non-Bengali area, and he was heard that people have been brutally killed in that area. So when he came back, he was also had no clue of what happened to us, what happened to our fate. So whether we are alive, we are gone. And he, in fact, we left our house. We could not stay where we was, our house was. We had to evacuate that place because of the brutality in that area. Was many people was killed. So we flee the area, and we went about 15, 20 miles away from that place to another place of my grandfather's house, and we took shelter up there.
How did he find you?
It was very difficult for him. What we learned from him is he came back, and when he entered the city, he hired a taxi, which is known as baby taxi, which is small, like a small car called baby taxi. So the driver was not sure whether he's a Bengali or non-Bengali. He was unsure, but at some point he understood maybe the person, whoever rent my father is a Bengali. And then he asked, because my father, when he got into the car, he said, take me to Assad Gate, which is where we used to live. And after a few minutes of, the car started running, and the driver said, sir, are you a Bengali? And my father said, yes. And he said, so do you really want to go to this place? And my father said, yeah, that's where my family is. And then he said, you're probably coming back to the city now. That place has been ransacked and people have been killed. So there is really not many Bengalis live in that area anymore. A lot of them was killed, and most of them flee from that area because of their life was in jeopardy. So I don't know whether you should be going there, but if you want to go there, I will take you there, but I doubt you will have a family there. If they survived, then they probably left this area. So he went, he said, no, I have to go there. I have to see if they are still there. So he went there, but we was not there. And he found that the place is totally empty in that neighborhood. There is nobody. And then he was unsure where to go next to look for us. And then he started thinking. He said, okay, drive me out of here. So the cab driver took him out of there, and he was unsure where to go. But finally, he thought of maybe to go to my grandfather's house, and he came and he found us, that we was there about 15, 20 miles away from where he used to live. So that's how we got together again.
So grandma was with you the entire time, but was she doing anything else during this time?
Who?
Grandma.
No. I'm sure she was very, very, very worried. I can guess it from her every action every day. But she had a big responsibility. We was three brothers and a sister that she has to take care of. And I was little. And another of my brother was not really very older than me. He was probably around 5 years older than 6 years older than me. And I'm sure internally she was breaking down, but she didn't want to show that breaking down, worrying maybe that we will be in, like, everybody will be in chaos and the family has to be taken care. So she stood first, and that's how she continued waiting.
I know that you're the youngest in your family. What were your siblings doing?
At that time?
Yeah.
I had two brothers and a sister. My sister was married already by then. And she got married, in fact, 2 years before the war broke out in 69. 71 is the war broke out. So she was with her husband and her family, his family. And two of my brothers was with me. They was older than me, and there was a standing in my oldest brother. He just got out of college, and he was about to be admitted into university, and my other brother was still in school, in high school, he was in college. I'm sorry. He was in college. He was, I think, finishing his 12th grade. In Bangladesh, it is a little bit different than America. American system, the 12th grade is high school, but in Bangladesh, 10th grade is high school, and then 11th and 12th grade is called colleges. Those are intermediate college.
And then after you go to university.
And then you go to, then you go to universities. So one of them was in college, finishing up his 11th grade, 12th grade, I believe. And the other one had finished already 12th grade and was waiting to be in the university, going for his bachelor degree.
Did you participate in the war, like in any movements during the war, or your siblings?
I was not very directly involved because of my age. I was not that old.
You were 12.
I was only 12 years old. But many of my family members joined the war, especially my uncles and my cousins, those who joined the war. There are many, many stories that comes down when they was joining the war. Sometimes they didn't want to let their parents know. I remember one time when my first uncle, the first person in our family joined the war was my uncle, one of my uncle. And I remember in that morning, I wake up and I was at my grandfather's place still at that time, because we could not go back to our own house until the liberation was ended. So I remember one day I woke up in the morning and I saw like everybody, no one is talking in the house. No one is really talking. And everybody's like sad face. And I was not sure what happened in overnight, that everybody was okay the night before. It was not a joyful place, of course, because the war is going on. But that morning was something wrong in the house. And nobody even prepared the breakfast. And finally, I heard that one of my uncle, he left the night before to join the war. And he left a note for my grandmother, saying that note was simply saying, Mother, I'm going to the war to liberate my country. I hope one day I will come back once the country is liberated. So he just left the night before. So there were so many memories that was going on. My brothers was very much involved, helping with the fighting forces, which was known as guerrilla forces. But I was not directly involved, but our family was very much involved with the many movements that went through Bangladesh for many, many years. Even as a young child, I was very, very involved in the street. When the students' protest was going on, our school students even joined the protest. Even from the elementary school, children went up. High school children went up. And I was in the middle school. So we also went to different demonstration that was going on, demanding the democracy, demanding the more voice, people's voice. So I joined many, many, many movements until that point.
Even now you're in many Bengali political circles. How did your feelings about the war differ from then than now?
I mean, there's really nothing much difference. I mean, I still believe the same belief that we had when we waged the war, when we waged the struggle, that the Bengalis, though there was the majority of the population of then Pakistan, but there was always was deprived from their rights, from their civil rights, from their financial rights, from the even our language was oppressed. Though we was the majority people of Pakistan, 75 million, but still our language was not even recognized as a national language. And we had to fight a war, which in fact, a 1952, 21st of February, our people died on the street, especially the students revolted to gain the right of their mother language. On 21st of February, they waged the demonstration in front of the Dhaka University, and people laid down their life. And this was one of the most recorded history of people, in any country, people dying to preserve their language. which is now known as International Mother Language Day, and recognized by the UNESCO as the International Mother Language Day, 21st of February, remembering the people, those who fought and laid their life for their mother language in 1952.
What year did you immigrate to America?
I came here in 1986. That was the time I came here. And
how old were you?
I was young. I just left the university a couple of years before that, and I worked with a non-governmental organization, and then came like three years later, I came to USA.
What age were you exactly, do you think?
Oh, I was probably 23, 20, 24, 25, somewhere there at the time when I came here.
When you were younger, what did you think of America, and did you think you would ever move here?
You know, probably not. I never thought of I would be coming to America. There was really never that crossed into my mind that I would be coming to America at that time. But more likely I was supposed to go to England, because there are a lot of Bangladeshi people live in England, and there was a lot of opportunity to go into schools up there. So in fact, I was about to be admitted to a law school at that time, because I was always thought of going into a law profession, and to do there is a degree called barrister at law. It's in England, and I was thinking to enroll myself there. In fact, my uncle who lives there, he even sent the paperwork to enroll into that very prestigious school. But somehow that didn't happen, and I continued to complete my master's from the Chittagong University. And after completing my master's, I was with a non-government organization doing some social work at a village area for about a year. And after that, I think a few months after that, I left the country and came to USA.
What did you think about the USA when you were a child?
What did I think of what?
The USA.
Oh, when I was growing up, USA, I was always, let me put it this way, I was always fond of history. History was a fascinating thing for me. So in the college, in the university, one of my subjects was political history, was one of the things. And we used to read about the U.S. Constitution in that political science, when I was doing the political science classes. So U.S. history directly, not as the U.S. history, but political history of USA, the Constitution of USA, as well as the Constitution of the UK, was a part of my education that I was getting into in college, in university. But beyond that, I always had fascination about the history, and I used to read a lot of the books about history, books about America and its revolution, and its even during its the North and South War, internal wars, I had
the Civil War.
Civil War, so I had always fascination about reading about these countries around the world and knowing their culture and the history and heritage.
What was your first impression of America when you moved here, and how did it change, if at all, over time?
It's a big, big change. It's a very, very big change. I mean, I always knew there is a huge change, the cultural. I will be in a different type of environment culturally, religiously, then again socially, economically. It's a completely a different area. But I never knew really how big of a difference it will be. But when I came here, I found like it's really, really so different than the place I grew up. It's a completely a different world. So it was a kind of like a shocking at the point, And then again, it's a revealing in a sense of that this is what I used to know and this is what it is. That's a big revealing thing for me. I mean, it's socially, financially, economically, and culturally, and language-wise, it was a great revelation for me that revealed the America revealed in front of me. And when I was coming here, always I learned about, you know, that America is a melting pot. People come here from around the world and, you know, give their best shot and look for the American dreams, and that's how they work. And when I came here and I found exactly that, it's a melting pot. But as I grew up into this system, now I have a different view about America. This is just my personal opinion, that once I came here, it was really a melting pot. That was the idealistic thinking of the America is a melting pot. But as I am passing my time here, I think that analogy of melting pot, America as a melting pot, is now different to me. I consider rather a different way of looking into how America is. America is a great nation, great place. It in fact reflects the entire world. There is not a single country in this planet Earth probably where it is not represented. The country that is not represented in American system. Every single country has some people here in this American system, those who represent their country and bringing all the goods, all the good things in there. Now I consider America, instead of a melting pot, I say, you know, it's a big, big salad bowl. It's like a, you know, the salad has been placed into a, you know, glass bowl that you could see through. And you put carrots, you put lettuce, you put tomatoes, you put all kinds of, you know, pepper and this and that, all kinds of things that goes into a salad. You put all of these and you put different kind of sauces, Italian sauce and, you know, all different kinds of sauces to make the salad beautiful and more eatable. And then, you know, you mix it up and you eat it, this salad, you feel like, oh, what a wonderful thing in your mouth, right? But at the same time, when you see through these glasses, you could separate each of them saying, oh, that's the lettuce, that's the tomato. So it didn't melt it. All of them exist, all the culture still exists in this beautiful salad bowl, but they did not melt it. They are separated. I could still see the beautiful, you know, the red cherry tomato there. I could see the baby carrots flying out there. I could see all these green leafy things. All these are things are there making this beautiful salad, but at the same time, all of them are individual that I could identify that these are the people, these are my people, these are the people of the representation of the entire world is there. I could separate them and I could say, yes, this is the country that we are in. It didn't melt it. We all are individual with the individual, you know, thinking, culture, language, religion. And then again, all together in this salad bowl, we are one. This is just a beautiful salad dish that we could eat.